I'm glad to say that in the studio with me is Professor Danny Dorling. He's from the University of Sheffield and he's going to talk to us about an event that's happening tonight. Good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good this morning.
Good, good, good. So, this event tonight, it's the Lord Pitt Memorial Lecture.
Yes, that's the one.
And it's about how place makes race. What do we mean by that?
Okay, it's about how, although you may sort of think that races are fixed and, you know, people of a certain race and so on, and race matters a certain amount, that varies across the world and it varies over time. One thing that matters enormously, particularly in London, is how divided London is, how expensive it is to live in and how well people are paid. At the moment, London is, well, almost the most divided it has ever been. So if you have new groups coming into London and they haven't got much money, they're coming at the bottom of a very long ladder, and that often keeps them in a particular position, and it makes your racial identity more important for longer. Whereas when Britain was coming together more, races kind of, well, not quite disappeared, but it didn't matter so much who you were. So it's about how much where you live determines who you live and your life chances. And I'll give you a good example from America where this is most extreme. In the States, around about 1984, the average white family had wealth of about $22,000. And the average Afro-Caribbean family had wealth of about $2,000.
Wow.
Now, wait for it. Since 1984, because the rich people have done better and cities have done worse, the average white family, in real terms, I mean, this is taken into account inflation, now has an average wealth of $100,000. The average black family still has an average median wealth of $2,000.
$2,000?
$2,000 for the median for the black family in the middle in America. So you've had a 75,000 increase in the wealth gap. Now, obviously, the reasons go back to issues like slavery and no inherited wealth and so on. But these two groups have moved apart, and they've moved apart because of how the housing market works in America and has been allowed to work. And if you allow the same thing to happen in Britain, if you allow affluent areas to see their house prices rise, which has been happening in London. I mean, the house prices go up most in Kensington, where the average, I mean, flat now is 1.2 million. But you see house prices fall in some of the poorer areas, which disproportionately have people who are not white. You begin to make race more important if people are segregated by area and by housing. And we've seen it before. We saw it with the Jewish ghetto in Whitechapel. And this is, race and housing and place are all related. They're not independent things.
How big of an impact has immigration made on this? I mean, what you said earlier that, you know, there's a big difference between the old way it used to work with people coming together and now they're not so much. Is that purely down to immigration being so huge?
Well, we've always had quite a lot of immigration. I mean, one of the things that makes Britain unusual compared to other European countries is how great the immigration. It's just been from different places. So it used to be mass immigration from Ireland. And then it was Jewish immigration around 1905 and so on. And often those groups, particularly the Jewish people who came around about 1905, ended up at the bottom of a very divided society. But from the 1920s, 30s, 40s and 50s, British society became together. The wealth and income gaps between people reduced. And that made the position of Irish and Jewish immigrants less obvious. And they fitted into society more. We've had wealth polarisation since the 1970s, 80s and 90s. So if you turn up more recently, say from Bangladesh, so your position as an ethnic minority group, all refugees from Somalia or Iraq, Afghanistan, you're walking into a situation in Britain which is so much more divided than the 60s or 70s that your group will be more dislocated. Whereas groups that came in then, the very early 1950s, particularly early Windrush, Afro-Caribbean groups, actually arrived at quite a good time. And in hindsight, in not a bad place in London. Whereas turning up in a mill town in the north in the 1970s from Pakistan wasn't a brilliant housing investment. You know, people have no way of knowing this, but the chance of where your group might in largest numbers have turned up in Britain has such an effect on what later happens to them. London's been good for groups coming in. The north of England has been less good. And that's nothing to, there's no fault to people who arrive, but the place they end up in ends up altering their life chances and then ends up defining them as a race. I mean, the classic city is Salford and Oldham. Salford and Oldham both had the worst life expectancy 150 years ago in England. They still have some of the worst life expectancy. Okay? But the people are a large number of people are genetically unrelated. These were Irish immigrant cities in the 1850s.
Yeah.
There are now many more people in the Indian subcontinent. So the one thing we know is it's got nothing to do with people's genes. Okay? It's all about the places. but